Okay, so we talked about the basics. We'll now pivot to some self-defense techniques that we can put into play. And so the way this will kind of work is for each stage of the process, we'll talk about some tips and tricks. We'll talk about why those things matter, and then we'll have a few examples. Some of them I'll discuss in detail. Others I'll leave to your follow-up reading if you're interested. Okay, so we'll start with the invention disclosure and investigation stage of things. And the tips here, the first items, I really do think these are things that we all know. I mean, I think we all know that in the post-AIA world, you really need to identify and develop inventions quickly, promptly, and then when they're developed and they're ripe for patenting, get it filed. Get the specification filed. Get an application on file and secure your filing date. That's really important, obviously, in the post-AIA world, first to file. But what I don't hear talked about as much is that this same line of reasoning, at least in my opinion, I really do think it applies equally to updating your provisional applications. So I think with a lot of practitioners, and I do this as well, kind of wait for the docketing system to tell us, they're like, oh, hey, it's been a year since you filed your provisional. Maybe it's time to start updating or, you know, get back in touch with the inventors as we get near the conversion date. But there really is no reason to wait. And it's inconsistent with the tactic of having some urgency in terms of getting your filing date. I find that often when I'm updating a provisional disclosure, usually the updated material is important, and it can really serve as the basis for a commercially valuable claim. And we want to get the earliest priority date for that claim as possible. The last note here, finding the best prior art, I think is a little bit less widely accepted. I think it's not in the practice of some folks to do a prior art search, but if we're looking at things through the lens of IPR and how to build the best defense for IPR, I really do think that finding the best prior art before you draft your claims, before you draft your spec, and disclosing that art to the patent office really is the best way to achieve denial of institution and get yourself out of an IPR if you happen to get in one. Okay, so we'll talk about now why all that stuff matters. Well, focusing specifically on the urgency in terms of securing a filing date, the difference now under the AIA is that the prior art is drastically expanded. And particularly for an IPR, the usable prior art has expanded by quite a bit. So petitioners, and I'm often on the petitioner side of the docket, we really like, for the predictable arts in particular, patent prior art. Patent prior art's great. It's easy to search for. It doesn't have public availability issues. It doesn't have authentication issues. Patent prior art is just great stuff. And now there's a lot more of it that we can use. So we'll drill down now into a couple of these. So the post-AIA 102A2, so this is the replacement for 102E, the earlier filed patent applications as prior art. The swear behind risk is severely mitigated, and really the unknown swear behind risk is what's mitigated. So the facts now in terms of whether or not one of the exceptions, the 102B2 exceptions apply, it's a lot easier to confirm that stuff or have reasonable certainty on that stuff before I pick my prior art before filing the petition, right? I can tell with some degree of certainty if the subject matter looks like it may have been obtained from the inventor. For example, if they were listed on my prior art, the inventor of the challenge patent was listed on the piece of prior art that I found, and they're the sole inventor, there's a really good chance that the subject matter came from them. But I can tell this is stuff that I can all tell before I file. I can tell if the subject matter may have been likely to have been disclosed by the inventor before my piece of prior art, and I can tell whether or not the subject matter is likely to have been commonly owned. So I can tell the exceptions. It was difficult to be able to discern before filing are the unknown facts of prior conception and reduction to practice. Those are facts that are not at my fingertips. I don't know them, so there is an unknown risk, and I don't like unknown risk. Remember, as a petitioner, I'm really going to get one shot at this thing. If I lose on institution or at the final written decision, I'm basically not going back to the patent. I'm absolutely not going back to the patent office, and I may even be a stop down the road from going to district court. And so my prior practice, my practice still, if I'm dealing with a pre-AIA patent, is to really look for, if I'm in the 102E realm of things, I'm looking for a filing date that's 6 to 12 months before the challenged patent, right? Because that helps me mitigate this unknown risk and be reasonably certain that's going to be very tough for a swear behind to happen to me as a petitioner. But post AIA, I really don't have to concern myself with that again. I can find the best prior art, and then I can, you know, go through the analysis to determine and quantify the likelihood that I'm going to get hit with one of the exceptions, and it's just far less likely. Another aspect here of the post AIA world is that prior art is entitled to its foreign priority date, which I think is not as big a deal as the swear behind issue, but it still does, just at least by a little bit, expand the amount of prior art that I can use. And then also, which is probably more impactful, is that provisionals now are sort of effectively prior art. So pre-AIA, if you wanted to have the benefit, if you wanted your prior art to benefit from the provisional filing date, you had to perform a dynamic drinkware analysis. And so you had to show not only that the provisional had the subject matter that you're relying upon, but that it also provided written description support for at least one claim of the published application of the published patent that you were using as prior art. And that's yet another potential vulnerability. I mean, you've seen cases go down because the petitioner didn't do a dynamic drinkware analysis, or the dynamic drinkware analysis failed. And that's the last thing I want as a petitioner, to be arguing not about the merits of the challenged patent, but about whether or not my prior art has written description support and it's provisional. Again, post AIA, I don't have to concern myself with that.